Yeah, that's just a fantastic song, isn't it? I guess a lot of us, if we realize what Jesus saw, you know, a lot of times stuff that really bothers us, he wouldn't even take a second glance at. Wouldn't be a problem at all to him. But good to be in the house of the Lord. Good group come his way this morning. You know, it's a Memorial Day. We got people scattered around here, there, and all over the place. And, you know, I thought about in all the busyness that goes on during the holiday, I hope everybody took just a few moments or a little bit of time out of their busy schedule and remembered what this holiday is about. You know, it's about the veterans that died and gave their life that you can have this freedom today. And I don't think we need to just remember the ones that passed. I think we remember all of them. That they fought, they died, they struggled, so we can have an opportunity to come here today and worship and praise an almighty God. Now, we worship God, we praise Him, but we need to remember those fallen veterans. And, you know, that's what we set the holiday aside about. And I think it's like a lot of other things that people forget the true meaning of it. That's why we celebrate Memorial Day. It's because we've got this freedom to come and do that today. Good to see everybody come this way, and a good song service. And I hope everybody's got a good plan for afternoon. They said we're going to dismiss this afternoon. I hope everybody can stay safe this afternoon. That's what it's about. I want to look at the Word of God this morning. A few verses of Scripture I want to share with you on Memorial Day. You know, so we're remembering what was done for us. And as we remember what the men and women did for us, and the fights and the battles that they fought and the lives that they gave, I also want us to think about what Jesus did for us. You know, He set you free. Amen. Jesus said, if I set you free, you're free indeed. And I thought, you know, as you start reading through 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and it wasn't as much about sin, because we know sin can be cast as far as east to the west, never to be no more remembered by God if you've asked forgiveness. But this was more about trying to get Christians to live more godly life and live the way Christ would have them to live. You know, that's what He was trying to instruct the church in at that time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to start in verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Now, as we remember, we think back, you know, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I've had people say, well, isn't He in heaven right now? We're not in heaven, we're on earth. Has Jesus forsaken us? No. He left that Spirit with us that'll always be with us. It's closer now than it could ever been. So when we lead up to this point in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, it said, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because this thus judge, if one died, then all were dead. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. So it shifts it over, and it's not talking about the ungodliness or sin, because that's a forgivable thing, but it's talking about how we live for the cause of Christ. You know, I love what David said. You know, he was told in that Bible school that he was saved, but later he began to understand he wasn't, you know, because that's how God deals with people. He'll deal with your heart, with your soul, and let you know. You know, Scripture said, these things I've written unto you that you may know you have eternal life. And so we need to have that assurance. But when we talk about this, it's talking about we should live no more to ourselves, but henceforth live to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I preach the difference. I preach a change that when you're truly saved, I believe God makes a difference in your life. If you're doing the same old thing and never change anything, I don't know if Jesus came in your heart or not. But I'm telling you, I believe Jesus brings change in people's life. When it talks about this, that we should not live henceforth to themselves, but live unto Him that died for them. In other words, we're patterning our life the way God would have it to be. In verse 16, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. And so he's just speaking about Christ had ascended. He had gone to be at the right hand of the Father. And he said, I knew Him one time in the flesh. He said, I don't know Him in the flesh, but the presence of God was still here. And he said, we don't know Him in the flesh anymore, but we know Him by the Spirit. Jesus never leaves us. Jesus never forsakes us. Jesus is in this service here today that He could make a change in somebody's life. Right here today, it could happen. The power of God is present with us through this Holy Ghost. In verse 17, it said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we start talking about a new creature. That means change in our life. From what you were before you were saved until what you are after you're saved, it's talking about a new creature. It's talking about something new. You've been born again. Amen. You've had a second birth, not just from your mother's womb, but you've been born again of God. And you're a child of God. And I'm telling you, when God shows us the responsibility and the love that He gives for us, how can we not be changed? People say, well, you don't believe eternal salvation? I sure do. You got it. You're going to keep it. Amen. You ain't going to lose it. The question is, did you ever get it? Were you changed in life? Were something different? I mean, you know, when you got up, I can remember my day of salvation. I wasn't ever going to be the same again because I was a new creature. Talk about old things are passed away, and behold, all things have come new. Took a while, but I'm still working on it. I'll get there one of these days. Well, I don't think it's something I just immediately got, but it's something I knew I needed to have, so I'm working towards it. In verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, you talk about the responsibility God has trusted you with when He said He's given to you the ministry of reconciliation. And that means that make people be right and recognized with God. And so it gives us the opportunity that we can share this gospel of Jesus. We can share this word of God, how He loves the world. And for them, He gave His only begotten Son. And it gives us an opportunity to share in this ministry. Sometimes I'm just overwhelmed. I'm telling you, to think that God trusts us enough that we share this ministry of reconciliation. You can tell people how to be saved. So we start looking at this and we think about the change that comes in people. We think about the change that God requires that we come to, that we become His child. In verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, but hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When He talks about not imputing their trespasses, God will forgive you for sin. Boy, that's good news. Everybody about Hyphos all jumped up and shouted. You know, praise God, He'll forgive you for sin. He said He'll cast you as far as the east from the west, never to be remembered again. And so we're not talking about sin. We're talking about the work that we do for God, what He'd have us to do as His children. Y'all ever want your children to work? It's a good thing, isn't it? Don't always happen, but it's a good thing, isn't it? I'd hate to support them till they're 65 or 70 years old when the government took over. In verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. In verse 21, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so we get to the point, and it talks about that Jesus became sin for us. He crucified it on the cross of Calvary. And it talks about that in His stead we might be the righteousness of God. When I think about change, you know, and I hear this all the time. I don't believe people can change people. I never have. Now, you might give them good instructions and you might make recommendations to them. But as far as you personally having the power to change somebody, I don't believe you can do it. But God can change people. When we start looking at this about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know, every time I read that, I think when I look at a congregation, I think, do they like who they are? If you like who you are and you're satisfied with that, you're probably going to stay that way. But if there's something biting you inside, and I'm talking about that Holy Spirit of God gnawing on you a little bit in that heart, letting you know that you're not quite right with God, then you'd have an opportunity to change. God can change people. People can't change people. But when we start thinking about this, and then you can judge yourself, whether you're a new creature or not. Are old things passed away? Are all things become new? You know, this is the word that God gives us. Have you saw this newness? Have you saw this regeneration? Has God took this old filthy, sinful flesh and changed it into something that He could look down and say, that's my son or my daughter? He talks about we're ambassadors for Christ, and he gives us that opportunity. Now, when we talk about change, look back just a page or two in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want to look at verse 16, 17, and 18. When we start talking about change, it takes the power of God. And so when we start looking for that, that's through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we'll read over in Acts in a few minutes about the gift of the Holy Ghost when it was first received and how it changed people. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16, it said, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away." Now, I want to stop right there. "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken out of the way." And so we went through you go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And at that time, Jesus was present here with us. And there were a veil on Moses' face. And there was also a veil still available at that time. But then it talks about until the day when it says till we turn to the Lord. Now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and this is people still under the law, and they're bound by the law that God gave to Moses. But I get thinking about Jesus coming and bringing grace. Grace takes the veil away. Grace lets you be able to see the love of God. He don't blind you from it. And when I think about the veil, in Exodus chapter 34, I read this quite often. Moses was having problems with the people. I'm telling you, he said there's a stiff-necked bunch, and he's having a problem. He goes up on the mountain to pray, and he's up there 40 days and 40 nights communing with God. I want you to know when he came down, he was a different man than when he went up. It said he was so full of holiness and of the power of God that his face was shining so bright that they couldn't even look on it. And they talked about he had to put a veil over his face to hide himself and the glory of God so the people could even look on him. Well, that veil continued up till the time that Jesus was crucified, and I'm going to tell you, the veil went away. We can look on the glory of God. Now, I didn't say look on God, but we look on the glory of God. We can see the glory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when it talks about that in Exodus 34, or Genesis 34, excuse me, or Exodus 34, I've got it wrong. But it talks about that veil because he had been with God. Now, I believe when you're with God, it shows. I believe it'll show if you've truly been with God. It'll make a difference. It'll change your life. People around you will see it. In verse 17, it said, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." When we take this word liberty, it means a freedom. It means you've got access to a freedom. When we're talking about this liberty, and it talks about where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I think about the opportunities and possibility God gives us to change each day that we live on this earth. He says, okay, you don't like who you are? God can change you. It takes confession of sin. It takes receiving the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. It takes the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That if we're going to do what God wants us to do, how can you do what God wants you to do if you don't hear from Him? There's liberty here today. Somebody could be changed. In verse 18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." And so we start talking about change, and we talk about change from one glory to the next in the glory of the Lord. And I think a possibility here today that somebody possibly don't like who they are, God will change you. If you'll let Him, God will change you. I want to talk about change just for a few minutes. In Acts chapter 2, turn there with me if you would. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When we talk about change, we're going to read right here about the game changer. I mean, we're going to read about what changed everything in the situation. We're talking about, they were coming out from under the law and they were entering into grace and they needed something to lead and guide them. Before, they had the law of Moses or the law of God that gave to Moses, and they'd look back and say, well, this is the law. We have to do this, this, and this. When the law was taken away, and they went under grace, they needed a leader. They need something to guide them. So God sent the Holy Ghost. That's what He sent. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, And when a day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you see the change and the difference it made, this gift of the Holy Ghost, when it came into them. I've read through and looked at Scripture. I believe the Holy Ghost does so many things, I couldn't even start to list it all. The Holy Ghost brings comfort. The Holy Ghost brings peace. The Holy Ghost brings joy. The Holy Ghost brings forgiveness. Amen. And so many things that I could list, that this gift of God, when the law was taken away, this was our leadership and guidance to God through this Holy Ghost. He'll put it in your heart and mind what you need to do. He can make a difference in it. Now, we talk about change, and change in a man, change in a woman, and God can make this change. Look over in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Let's talk just a little bit about Peter. One of the greatest examples I've saw of change. You know, Peter was a called apostle, called to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He followed Christ. He stayed with Christ until the day of the crucifixion. And then you're going to find that in Scripture, you'll find that Peter denied Christ three times. Three times he denied Christ. You know, that's a heartbreaking thing, isn't it? But then we read that Jesus said, "But after thou art converted." Then Peter received this gift of the Holy Ghost, and what does he do? It changed his whole life. It changed his attitude. It changed his opinion. He started preaching the glorious gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You talk about a change in a man, his change was evident. They saw this Peter that denied Jesus, and then they saw this Peter that stood up and started preaching Jesus, and the change that took place, and I'm thankful for that change. One thing it took for Peter, I think, to make this change, and I think I can explain this in a way that if he had not let the guilt go, I don't know if he could have done the work of God. You know, if he always let that bother him, okay, I denied Christ three times. And if he always let that bother him, how is he going to be beneficial in the work of God? There's times you got to forgive yourself. God forgives you. You confess sin is forgiven sin. But if you don't forgive yourself, what have you gained in it? There's times you got to forgive yourself. God's forgave you. Maybe family's forgave you. There'll be a few that'll never forgive you. But, you know, that's their thing and problem. But when we look to this, in verse 14 it said, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day." They made so much difference in this gift of the Holy Ghost made so much difference in them. They acted so different, people thought they was drunk. And I'm going to tell you, they was. They was high on the Spirit. Amen. They was high on that power of God that gets inside of us that makes you want to get up and bubble every now and then. That power of God that gets in you, it makes you want to raise your hand in the church service, say, "Glory to God, I'm glad I feel that. I'm glad I've got that power within me. The Lord Jesus Christ living. The Holy Ghost living in you." And so when he said, "These are not drunken," he had to defend them because they were acting so different. That's what the Holy Ghost does for you. It'll make you act different. It'll make you talk different. It'll even make you smell different in a lot of situations. Y'all thinking, "What do you mean smell different?" I used to have a good friend. He drank beer all the time. I mean, we were good friends. He drank beer all the time. Every time you get around him, you couldn't stand his breath. Whew, lean way back from him. His beer breath. Anytime you saw him, he got saved, got filled up with the Holy Ghost. He quit drinking. It changed the way he smelled. Y'all get it? It changed the way he smelled. Oh, by the way, he quit smoking too. Changed the way he smelled. You know, he got filled up with the Holy Ghost. But that's what God can do through this power of the Holy Ghost. He can change us. He can make us what he'd have us to be. That's the message today, that if you like who you are, just carry it on. If you don't like who you are, God will help you change. If you'll ask him, he'll help you change. Y'all stand. We're going to be dismissed this morning. Memorial Day, everybody be careful. Watch what you're doing. Look twice before you pull out. And if you go to the lake water skiing, watch for snakes.